Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Good morning. This is Lon Woodbury of the Woodbury Report. And today we have Neil Brown on the line. Neil, good morning. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. Great to be here.
And incidentally, it is May 11th, 2017. It's the morning for me. And we're going to talk about parental burnout. The title is Parental Burnout, Three Causes and Cures. Now, Neil is an author. His latest book is Ending Parent-Teen Control Battle. And he's a therapist, a speaker, and I just found out he's doing his podcast and a very, very busy person. So, but a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge in teens and families. So let's start with, what do you see parental burnout? I think everybody has a reaction to that, but just what is parental burnout?
That's a really important question because I think it's an under-recognized condition because I think it gets... You know, like, oh, I'm burnt out, it just becomes a phrase that no one really thinks is important. It just means, oh, yeah, I'm tired from this or I'm exhausted from it. But, and everyone knows parenting is hard work, so if you say I'm burnt out, it's like, okay, you're burnt out. But it's actually much more serious than that. We have to really think about that at some point, parents' functioning can actually go down. They can have depression, serious depression. They can have issues with sleep and anxiety and worry and a sense of hopelessness and futility, feel ineffectual, feel ineffective. They can lose their drive. They can lose their enthusiasm. They can lose their joy. And yes, everybody knows that parenting is, in fact, a challenging role to play in life, and it involves a lot of hard work. But we also expect that, you know, we'll put out all that hard work and there'll be some reward too. But at some point, when the work out ends up being a lot more than the reward in, and I mean a lot more, and you feel like you're not getting any place or that your efforts are not being effective, at some point you're going to experience this a sense of hopelessness and unworthiness, self-esteem reduction, and it can be very serious.
It sounds like it might, and a layperson might say, oh, it looks like they're depressed.
Well, you might say that, but, you know, the point about it is it's absolutely related to their functioning and their role as parent.
Yeah, I would expect one of the things is the parents, they're getting a little bit more testy, more likely, instead of soothing a kid, snap at them. And so when you say not effective, they're not effective as a parent because they aren't there for the child like their child like they should be, and a number of things like that. So another parallel, I think most parents will recognize what you're talking about, but another parallel might be work. There are times when you're on the job so much you're not effective. I remember one time my boss kicked me out and sent me home and said, rest for a couple of days so you can refresh a little bit. You're just,
Well, you know, burnout, Lon, burnout does happen in work situations too. Mm-hmm. And parenting is a job. So it's every reason to think that occupational burnout can happen to parents as well as it can happen to anyone else who's working in a job that at the end of the day feels thankless, unrewarding, thankless and unrewarding might be a good way to put it. Yeah.
And it's harmful to the kids because the parents can't be there for them properly.
Well, at some point, the parental functioning goes down. That's
mm-hmm.
true.
Okay, well, you said three causes and cures. So let's hit the causes, a little bit causes, maybe a 1, 2, 3 bulleted type of thing, and then get into cures.
Okay. Well, I think once we understand the cause, it almost implies the cure.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll talk about each cause and cure together.
Sure.
And the first one is, you might not be surprised to hear, parent-child or parent-teen control battles. And what that means is parents and their kids or their teenagers have gotten into a pattern of interaction which is which is a stalemate. Parents push and kids resist. So instead of parents showing the way and then having kids move in the way that parents are showing them so that it feels like we're making progress, parents show the way and kids resist the way, and parents push and kids resist. And at some point, all that pushing gets you no place. It's kind of like being on the side of the road with your pickup stuck in the mud, and you step on the gas and the pickup sinks a little deeper and you don't go anyplace, but you're burning gas and you're running the RPMs. And then you don't push on the gas, and then you just sit there going no place. So that's sometimes what happens when parents and teens get into these interactional loops where the harder a parent pushes, the more a kid resists. And whether that's just getting everyone out in the morning or getting the afternoon pulled together so that everyone can be focused on homework and dinner and straighten up and whatever needs to happen, except it doesn't happen and it doesn't happen well. Or you have an at-risk kid who either you're getting lots of calls from the school, from your elementary school, or your kid is, your teenager is involving themselves in behaviors that are at risk, or they're just not doing their homework and you're watching their scores on your internet connection to the school and seeing all the zeros in the assignment places, and then you tell them to do their assignment and then they're resisting it and you can't get them off their devices. So getting into those parent-teen or parent-child loops where it takes a lot of parental effort to get a kid to do one thing one time, and then it goes back to a negative homeostatic place right after that.
Well, I know one of the things that maybe a lot of parents can is an antidote. I heard it was one kid that come to the dinner table, young kid, comes to the dinner table without washing his hands, and the mother says, go wash your hands. And it goes on and on and on until he finally says, well, you always have to go wash your hands. Why do I have to keep reminding you? Well, you forgot once. And that was the pattern they got into. But yeah, it seems to be almost natural to kids to push back testing boundaries or whatever is going on.
Well, sometimes it's natural, because once again, parents are, we know what parents do. Parents tell kids, here's the structure, here's the expectation. And, sometimes kids will be right there with it and say, okay, because they know that that's what parents do. And sometimes kids will resist. And then how the parent responds to the kid's resistance will have a lot of impact on whether or not the kid continues to resist, or eventually a kid just understands that that's the expectation, and if they want all the goodies that come with family life, then they have to meet the requirements and be cooperative as well.
So I think consistency on the part of the parents is part of that.
It's part of it. I mean, I think staying positive is one. Not taking their kid's resistance personally is another.
That's a tough one.
Not trying to over-control. In other words, not trying to make the kid do something, but letting the kid, just doing their parenting thing and letting the kid figure it out, and sometimes letting the consequences speak for themselves. Thinking about things in terms of privileges rather than consequences, so that it's not what a parent is doing to a kid to change their behavior, but what is, just what the structure is that a kid needs to perform in order to earn the privileges that they want. Mm-hmm. So it depersonalizes it. It's not my parent is trying to manipulate me with or punish me with consequences and rewards, but it's simply how the world works. The world works that when you manage your responsibilities and you're cooperative and have a good attitude, then you get privileges, and when you don't, you don't.
Okay,
so
well,
it's much less personal.
Yeah, have we sort of covered the cures, or there's some more to add to that so we can go on to the next one?
I think so. If you want to understand in a little more in depth what a control battle is and how to understand them and get out of them, because a lot of families, virtually, Lon, all the families that come to see me to have, to one extent or another, a control battle going on. So read my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, and you'll learn a lot more.
Okay. All righty. Sure. Cause number two.
Cause number two is a lack of a parent not getting their emotional needs met, or a lack of support, a lack of emotional support. In any job we do, we need to know whether or not we're on track or not, whether or not we're doing a good job. and we need an attaboy or an attagirl from time to time, and we need to know that someone gets what we're doing, cares about what we're doing, cares about that we care about what we're doing, and also get us some feedback that maybe there's a better way or a new way or a different way to go about something. So these are things that if you think about any job, if you were to go to a job and someone were to put you in a cubicle and tell you to do a job, and you never found out whether you were doing a good job or a bad job, you were just doing a job, you didn't know if you were getting it right or if it was adding any value or you were getting any place, you'd go nuts and you wouldn't want to work there anymore, and even a high salary wouldn't compensate you. In fact, most people would tell us that they'd rather take a lower salary and work in an environment that's supportive and helpful than take a high salary and work in a place that is unrewarding to work in.
And sometimes,
so getting your emotional needs met.
Yeah, and then sometimes I had an example of that. You're taking care of yourself in that it's your attitude. I remember I worked in a situation that was a high-stress situation, and I was sort of a sink or swim. And a month or two later, nobody had ever told me I did a good job, but I figured, these people aren't shy. If I was doing a bad job, they'd have fired me long since, so I must be doing a good job. So I talked myself into getting that kind of support.
Well, good. Excellent. And all do need that kind of support. It's really vital to our well-being. We have to get our emotional needs met. We need understanding. We need validation. We need recognition. And we need to know that somebody cares.
Mm-hmm. Would you include in part of that taking a weekend off every now and then?
Well, I would say that's actually cause and cure number three.
Oh, okay. I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Well, go ahead. Let's get into three.
Yeah, number three is me time. We can't have all work and no play. It's just not. The formula is proven. Your functioning is going to go down. Your effectiveness is going to go down, and you're going to burn out. Mm-hmm. We need me time. And parents are sometimes, you know, such good sacrificing people that they forget to put in me time. There's so many things to do, and it almost feels like you're never done, even if you worked all day long and never took a break for yourself, there'd still be undone tasks. Some of the bills wouldn't be paid yet. The dog wouldn't have been walked. This mess wouldn't have been cleaned up. You wouldn't have called the insurance company about this. I mean, there's so much to do that it's sometimes hard to just stop and say, okay, I'm going to take some me time. And often the resources aren't really there for me time. And so you have to get creative. Very often parents are afraid to ask. They might need some time, but they don't know how to. They're too sacrificing, and they're not able to say to their neighbor, could you come over and watch the kid for a half an hour or 2 hours and let me go someplace, or ask a family member, a sister, or to come over and be with the kids and take them for a day so I can be in the house by myself and read my book and have a cup of tea.
That's what the extended family was good for back in the old days.
Exactly. And we just, you know, there's a lack of that and for many parents. I mean, some parents do that beautifully, and in fact, they get a lot of support and things work out pretty well. But in today's world of our mobility, high mobility, it's increasingly rare. And so we have to build those communities, and we have to use the resources that are around us, and we have to have better skills. We have to ask. And what happens is, if someone asks, you're honored. If someone asks us, Lon, hey, can you help me out? I could really use this in some specific way, and we actually think we can help someone and make a difference in someone else's life. We love that. Mm-hmm. We love to give as much as sometimes we love to receive. Sometimes we love to give.
You know,
so gift giving and gift receiving are both important.
Yeah, and for those that are trying to hard to ask, I think many times people sometimes feel insulted. You need some help, but you didn't ask me.
Yeah, exactly. I that's perfectly right on. That's true. So we need to honor those people that love us and give them a chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, that was quick. Exactly. We're just about run out of our time here. Do you have anything, any additional points that wasn't among the main three you want to throw out?
Well, I think the important thing, and I'm sure you've run into this line when families come to you looking for help, is they're almost always in some level of burnout. Mm-hmm. And parents often don't take that seriously, and they don't and they blame themselves for it. And they consider themselves bad parents, or start to give up on their kid and start to give up on themselves, and it's a spiraling down process. So what I want to say is, hey, it's fixable, it's curable, it's important. The fact that you're starting to feel that way should be information, and you want to take that information seriously and make some important changes. Your kids will benefit from it, you'll benefit from it, and those people that love you will benefit from it.
I know most of the clients I've worked with, and you know, the whole 25, 30 years that I've been working in this, the first thing I do is I use the term hope. Give them hope and validation. You're doing the best you can, because parents, especially when a kid's acting out, parents have a lot of guilt, a lot of burnout, and they're afraid there's no hope. They're the only one with a problem, too. That's an issue.
That's an issue, too. And you know, then there are those situations where kids are, for one reason or another, particularly challenging or particularly difficult. I mean, I think everyone knows that if you've got an ADHD kid or a hyperactive kid in particular, that, you know, that's going to run a parent around a lot more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, having one hyperactive kid is like having two or three kids right there. So,
yeah.
So you have to be empathetic to what parents go through and the work they do, and they do it from love. And so you're absolutely right. We have to be able to tell these parents, you know, you're operating from love and you're doing a great job, and here's some tweaks we can make that's going to make you much more effective and help you get the results you want and feel better in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes less is more.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's very good. Now, tell a little bit about yourself. If somebody had any more questions or wanted to contact you, how would they contact you? You know, phone number, email, things like that. And tell a little bit about your work, in particular your latest book.
Okay. Well, anyone can contact me very easily and see what I'm up to by going to my website, which is neildbrown.com. And you can email me from there. Or just join my website, and you'll get my weekly podcast, and there'll be some treats on there to download. One download, which we're about to put on the website, is your burnout recovery kit. So to help parents stay focused on these three causes and cures, and how to make sure that you're not going into burnout. And then and also there's an assessment for parents to see if they're in a control battle with their kids. So there's some nice giveaways on there. And then you'll get my weekly offering. And if someone wants to see me and do some remote coaching or counseling, they can contact me by email and we can set that up. So those are all good things. And then on my iTunes site is my podcast under the title of Healthy Family Connections. And I've spoken on a lot of issues. There's about 24 of them up there. And people send in questions, and I answer their questions. So I've had questions from what to do with lying kids, to dealing with in-laws, to helping kids who dealing with kids who won't do their homework, to parental burnout, how to raise a pretty strong-minded child, dealing with active and gifted kids. So there's a lot on there, and people have been enjoying them, and the feedback I'm getting is very good, and people are appreciating it. So let yourself avail yourselves of it, too.
Well, very good, and good luck on all that, Neil, and we've run out of time. But this is Lon Woodbury of the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Neil Brown about parental burnout, three causes and cures. And thank you very much, Neil.
It was a pleasure to be here, Lon. Thanks for having me.